You know, I heard Pastor Tucker say yesterday that we had been married for 50 years, my wife and I. And when we first got married, my father-in-law blessed me with these words. It won't last 2 years. But you know, the Lord always has the last word. A couple years later, he married my mother. And I wanted to say, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing. Well, I'm thanking the Lord for the privilege of being here this morning. And the Lord only gave me about four words. It's how we end. You know, one time I happened to, after a service that Pastor Billy was speaking in, I happened to go up by the pulpit and looked at his notes. He had four words. There wasn't any outline. There wasn't anything else. It was four words. You know, and I want to assure you that that's not me. You know, he had all to draw from. And I asked him later, I said, "Dad, was that all your outline was?" He said, "Yes. Yes." And so with that in mind, we're going to look at these four words, and I'd like to have you turn, if you would, to Job chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. Job chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water," remember that, "yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." You know, when God removed a patriarch from Zion Fellowship's midst, you know, there were things that happened to me and maybe to all of us. There was a well of wisdom that was removed. It was removed. And I had to consider that. Then there was the corrections of a spiritual father taken away, one that I knew loved me and would correct me in love. And that was taken away. It was like a spiritual tree that gave much shade and rest. It was taken away because I rested in the fact that when things got rough and I needed to hear something from the Lord, 1-607-565-2801, or whatever the other number was. "Hello? Hello, Dad, this is Daniel." And it's always started like this: "How are you doing, Daniel?" I wanted to say, "How are you doing?" Right? But it was always, "How are you doing?" Well, that's been taken away. But you know, he taught us how to finish our course. He taught us. So I want to look at this and say, there is hope. There is hope for the ones left behind. We can expect to sprout again. There's hope. We can expect to sprout again. We are like the roots of the tree that has been taken away from us, the foundation. And as roots, if we pick up the scent of water, then there's hope. All right? We need to believe God for that, that this is what will happen to us. That as a tree and the boughs on a tree and the limbs offer rest in the physical, and as the patriarch that has been removed from us did likewise, this is what God wants from us, that we in turn will be able to have spiritual limbs. For others, they can come, they can sit down, and they can have refreshing. Now, this is the time for us to have spiritual shade for the ones that the Lord is going to send us to. And I believe that the newness of life that God's going to give will be very broad. It will be universal if we seek water. If we seek water. Now, turning over with me to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. I want to look at that. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. It reminds me of when I was in Israel and we were walking by a very dry desert place and we crossed over a bridge. And this stone bridge had three huge holes in it. And I turned around and I asked Pastor Bailey, what is that for? He says, well, you know, right over there in those sand dunes in that desert, when it starts to rain, there's this tremendous sound of rain. You can hear it. You can hear it approaching. And when they had buses and vehicles going over, they wanted to be sure that they could cross over. So they made a bridge with these holes. Well, why I'm just explaining that is it's very important that we have spiritual ears that can hear the sound of rain in a dry desert area. We need to understand that. It's important to hear that, all right? Now, you know, in this little wilderness desert, the rain comes, I want to look at some of the hindrances of remember not, or that little word there is not to dwell on, but to go on, to go on. We can have hindrances. We want to progress forward, hitting the mark, obviously. We understand that. But, you know, former things can become an hindrance. In the past, nice conventions, move of God. In our churches, manifest presence of the Lord at different times. We've enjoyed it. Old moves, and we think about that. And then we come into our church, we think about it, and it can be a hindrance. It can be a hindrance. Just like it can be a hindrance if we just focus on what's going to happen in the future. We have to understand something. God is speaking now. He is a God of today, and we need to understand what God is saying and doing and open up our hearts to it. You know, even when we think about old moves or old failures, I've learned something. I've learned that one of the tricks of the enemy is to constantly bombard me with my old failures. And you know, you have to do battle with that. You have to do battle with what happens in your mind. And you can't cultivate that. You can't entertain that. But there are victories to be won in that area when he tries to take us back to our old moves, our old ways, and if he's allowed to do that, that becomes a hindrance to what God is saying now. You know, I believe what the Lord is speaking is something, our whole focus sometime when it's on the future, what God is saying, and God is saying, no, I live in the presence. But what happens there is in the presence is that the pressure of living in the presence has got to be withstood. We have to be able to withstand the pressures of today. Not yesterday, not the future, but we have to be able to withstand the pressures of today. And it's been very clear to me in my spirit. You know, on the highway of Zion, for a man, He has only the Lord for his strength. And that's no gender there. On the highway of Zion, for men and women, I've learned something. We have only the Lord for our strength. And the sooner we learn that, then we'll pay far more attention to what he speaks, all right? I want to look at, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. The Lord is speaking to us. You know, we could quote something if we want to. It's in Proverbs 24:10. If we faint in the day of adversity, our strength is small. And we do have adversity these days, don't we? But God has something for us to do. And I want to read it, and you follow along with me. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10. See, this day I have set thee over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, to build and to plant. We got to hear what God is saying today for Zion Fellowship. We have to have ears what he's saying, because what that is right there is a tremendous battle cry. I mean a tremendous battle cry. And we dare not attempt to do that in our own strength. We need to have the strength of the Lord in our hearts. You know, now we want to turn back to Isaiah 43:21. I want to look at this little verse with me this morning. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. My people, my chosen, formed for himself. My people, my chosen, formed for himself. You know, that's the opposite of democracy. In democracy, people vote for a man. In theocracy, the Lord chooses what he wants, and then we have to submit and listen to what he's saying. That's the whole difference. Democracy, we're finding out these days, doesn't work. No, well, I won't get into that. I don't get into politics. I refuse to. But I can make a statement that it's a little shaky, all right? It's a little shaky. Well, let that be. Now, if the Lord has his people that are chosen and formed for himself, then there is a deep work of preparation going on in our lives. And I believe it's for a reason. To hear the voice of God, like a running brook. You know, you stand by a running brook and it's making noises. It has its own noise. And I believe that that is very essential to us, that we go through preparation. We go through preparation, no matter how hard it is, so that we as individuals, as a fellowship, churches, we start hearing the voice of God. It was very easy sometimes for me to call up. Deb, this is the one that calls you when he has trouble now and then, you know. And I think I'm hearing from the Lord, but I would like to have you confirm it for me. Calling, want to hear. But if we are going to come up against nations, kingdoms, and root them out, throw them down, and destroy, and to build. One thing is very important. We best be hearing the voice of God clearly. Now, I'm sure we can still call up, you know, Zion, I want you to understand that. But I believe the Lord wants to broaden what is going to be new. And what's going to be brought forth is going to be universal. And we'll be places, and you will be places, where we have to hear clearly the voice of the Lord. It will be important to get the job done. We have to. And, you know, we want to be sure of that running brook the water, we're hearing it. And I want to look at this little thing of water. And if you would turn with me, it will be under the laver. And we understand the laver. So if you would turn with me to Exodus chapter 30, 21. You know, and it says there, Exodus chapter 30, 21. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, you know, I want you to know the Lord will speak again. And he is speaking through leadership here. The Lord is speaking again. And he is speaking through leadership. Verse 18, thou shalt also make a laver of brass. And we know that brass speaks of judgment. And we know that the laver speaks of self-judgment. But it says, you will put it between the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. And where it is very important. And then you will put water therein. Verse 19. For Aaron and his son shall wash their hands and their feet. Now hands speak of service. And our feet speak of our walk. And so it's very important that we understand some of the areas of cleansing, that we get it taken care of. And it says, they shall wash with water that they die not. In the Old Testament, there is occasions when that would happen. And I would like to say that in the New Testament, if we do not wash with our service and our walk, we fade little by little by little by little spiritually. And then the Lord can't use us. It's important. All right? We want to be very careful. Now, this little laver comes after the altar, and we know the altar is for sinners. And we know that the laver is for priests, kings and priests. But what's important here is that it comes before the tabernacle. We all want to be in the tabernacle. We all want to be where the Lord dwells. But it's very important that we understand water, we understand the cleansing, and we understand the position of it. And let the Lord speak to us that what we need to have in our own hearts is clean hands and feet, which brings us down to a pure heart and motives, M-O-T-I-V-E-S. Because then we're dealing with purity. And as overcomers, we have to go through the trials of cleansing. We want to be an overcomer, then we have to go through what the water is revealing to us. We have to go through the cleansing to have those impure motives cut out of our hearts. And you know why they need to be cut out of our hearts? I've learned this the hard way. Because if we don't allow God to cut out these impure motives in his sight, according to the water, the word of God, from our hearts, we return back to those weaknesses because we didn't let God cut them out of our heart and out of our spirit. So if you're wondering why sometimes we return back to our weaknesses, it's because we didn't stay and go through the trials and let God cut out from our heart the impurities that stop us from being an overcomer. So the position of the laver is very important. If we want to minister in the tabernacle, we cannot bypass the water. We cannot bypass the preparation of what God wants to remove from our hearts. It's so important that we hear what God is saying to us as individuals, as a fellowship, so that we could be overcomers and that we can go on. I want to look at Exodus 26:15. You know, before we just look at that, you know, I wear hearing aids. When I don't have the hearing aids, I can't hear a thing, nothing. If somebody shot a gun next to my bed when I'm sleeping, I would never know it. My wife would say, "Didn't you know? Didn't you hear that gun go off?" And I said, where? You know, look at the powder burn on your ears, then you might know. Right? But I mean, stone deaf. But that is just what happens to us. It just comes back to my mind. When we have dirty hands and feet, we become spiritually deaf. We are no longer in tune with what the Lord is speaking today. We have become spiritually deaf. And, you know, let the Lord speak to our hearts. Because when we become spiritually deaf, and here's the water in the brook running, and we don't pick up the sound of the brook, the question I have in my heart is, how on earth am I going to swim in the river of God when I cannot pass the test of picking up the voice of the running brook, the word of God for today, to me, to us? I can't be focusing in, oh, I know the river of God is coming. Oh, I most certainly do. And I do want to be in that river, and I intend to dive in, all right? I'm not looking for ankles and knees. And I'm looking to swim, and I'm looking to learn how to swim in the spirit. I know how to swim in the physical, but I have never learned how to swim when I have a river flowing from the throne to swim in. That's another thing. But if we just pass the test, and I want to look again in Exodus, if you'll follow along with me. It's in Exodus chapter 26, verses 15 and 16. And something else is happening here in the tabernacle. And it says, Exodus 26, 15 and 16, "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood, standing up." And it goes on to say that they're 10 cubits, the length, and a cubic and a half of their width. You know, after cleansing, the tabernacle is in the next framework spiritually that God wants to do with me and what God wants to do with you. It's the next framework of the building that God has in mind for us. But I was picking up on something, and I said, oh, Lord, when we ignore the lessons that we have been taught, you know, no fear of the Lord, we become candidates for failure as we repeat the mistakes that we have made. When we ignore the things that we have been taught in Zion Fellowship, through the ministry of a patriarch, down through leaders, down through teachers here, down through our local churches. When we ignore that teaching, we become candidates for failure. That means we lose the opportunity of becoming a board in the tabernacle. So let's look at these boards with me, all right? I was looking at Malachi chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. You know, when the Lord judges us, he says to us, "I will come near to you in judgment." And he was speaking Israel, but he could certainly can speak to us. And he named these things that he would judge. But tucked in there, just tucked in there down the end, is "one who fear not me." One who fear not me. Now, the Lord is saying, "I am the Lord." We sang that this morning. I change not. So consequently, we have to have the fear of the Lord in our hearts, in our lives, in our spirit, in order to go on. Most certainly do. All right, in chapter 26, verse 15. And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle, that they are to be straight up. We need to get this in our hearts today. Straight up. Boards, not like this. Not like this. Straight up. These boards are to be straight up. And it said that the length of them were 10, and we recognize that 10 in the Word of God is one of the things that we could say speaks of trials. Then I want to look at the 1 1/2 cubic in width. That speaks of incompleteness. Incompleteness. Now we're talking about boards. And they were made out of the Chittim wood, which was Achaia wood, which was found in the Sinai Peninsula. It was found out in the wilderness. It was found in the desert. And one of the characteristics of this was that it was never known to grow straight. It speaks to us about humanity or our human nature. Never known to grow straight. Now, there's a spiritual application there. We'll just look at it. It was full of knots, gnarls, and crookedness. And this was the trees that God chose to use. He chose to use the old crooked nature of you and I to make us straight boards. You know, every now and then, Brother Guy asks me, he says, can I have your young man that's very good with a saw? He says, I need to have him come up here and we're going to cut trees. And so he goes out and he says, now, David, these are the trees that we're going to cut. This one, this one, this one, this one, this one, this one. And don't cut anything but the ones that I tell you. That's what David does. Now, when we understand that in the spiritual, it's God who chooses which one of these old crooked trees that he knows that he's going to make straight boards out of. He knows that. He knows what's in our heart. So we got to look at this little thing of this chit of wood. It says it was very closely grained. It was hard to work on. And I have said to the Lord, I must be the hardest piece of granite that ever came out of New Hampshire for you to work on. I mean, I want you to know something. I wish that I had been far more workable before I finally got cut down. Got down to the place where the Lord said, all right, here you are. It's either now or you and I are finished. I never want to hear those words from the Lord again. I only had to hear them once. It's either now or you and I are done. Those words are not the kind of words that make you jump up and down and, you know, shout hallelujah. They're the kind of words that make you realize that God is speaking to you directly and he means exactly what he says. I want to look at these little boards. So here we are. God is going to make straight and upright boards. Yes, he is. And you know, he doesn't need lemon squeezers. You know what lemon squeezers are? They are those that can only see the shortcomings of other people. And that's all they talk about. God doesn't need that ministry. He is the one who's going to straighten people out. He doesn't need the lemon squeezers. So if you've been down to the grocery store unknowingly and you've been using them, then, you know, I hope those little puckered up lips that are sour from lemon, I hope you take them away and you let God do the work of working on the other crooked nature of what he has chosen to straighten out. God is going to do that. Let's just follow along, all right? Verse 29, and thou shalt overlay the boards with gold, and make their rings of gold for places of the bars. Now, gold speaks to us of the divine nature of the Lord. Gold is the divine nature of the Lord, and we will read it. He's speaking of that divine nature in us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Here we are. We're boards. The Lord has taken us. He's been working on us. And one thing about the wilderness I've learned, you know, sometimes people come up to you and they say, Pastor, this is wilderness out here. And this is dry. You know what? I've learned something. We grow in the wilderness too. We grow where things are dry. That's where we learn to overcome. And that's where when we get to the place where the Lord knows. And he's been in that dry wilderness. He's been planing us, because when we first came on, we had these crooked gnarls. We had this. And sometimes when we go through wilderness, exactly what the Lord is doing, if any of us who know what a planer is, it comes and it just takes away the rough areas that don't fit. And the Lord does that. And I've learned that usually it's not on the mountaintop experience of Mount Transfiguration. It's not up there where we're going to build tabernacles. We've got to go down in the area where the people are. And that's where it is. And we need to understand, if you're at a job, and you know, and you have the biggest jerk in the country working next to you or by you, and you just can't put up with it, then ask the Lord what kind of board you're going to be. Ask him. Because it could very well be he's a number one planer. He's working on you. All right? And if you walk away from that, you're going to walk away with the same crooked gnarls that you came to the job with. Pay attention. Pay attention. All right? That's what happens. Now, here's these promises. And it has to do with those with the divine nature. So the Lord wants us to be covered with his divine nature. That means covered. And there's a reason for that. Believe me, there's a reason for that. And we're going to look at that reason right now. Chapter 26, verse 17. Chapter 26, verse 17. Two tendons shall there be in the one boards, set in order one against another. Thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacles. Boards set in order one against another. You know, when we submit to the Lord, God will use us. But we have to be straight boards in harmony. That's why I need the divine nature. And that's why you need a divine nature. You know why? How many of us, having come to church this morning, can say, God, you can put me up against any other board here, and I will fit correctly? Or could it be? Or could it just be that we need a little more work of the divine nature being worked in us and overlaid in us, so that no matter what, we can be completely joined together with anyone that is walking with the Lord in the fellowship when we come together, because harmony comes from the divine nature of the Lord. Then we can become partakers of the promise that God has given to Zion Fellowship. We have got to come into harmony. We cannot bypass it. It's how we end. We can come to church, come to convention next time, and still be a board that hasn't been planed, because, Lord, I just don't want your divine nature so that I had to be put together with another board in the tabernacle. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm convinced of something. God is the one who says, I'll make the boards straight. He said, I will have straight boards in the tabernacle. That's what he says. You know, and just following this little thought along, and we know this very, very well, all right? In Psalm 133, verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. There it is, upon the mountains of Zion. We're looking for that tremendous deluge of water known as the ointment. Of God's pleasure upon his people. But it will come when the boards are in place. It will come when we submit and understand we need God's divine nature in us so that we can be completely joined together in harmony. And then the anointing will come. I am not saying that the anointing isn't going to come, and I'm not saying it's coming tomorrow or when it's coming. God is the one who does that. What I certainly understand about straight boards that God uses around the tabernacle, and I so much want to be in my place. Whoever God places me up against, I so much want to be in harmony, because I understand something, and I'll use this little illustration, all right? When we go to a lumber yard, and we go and we see all the different lumber, and there's a lot there. There's quite a few. And then sometimes when you go to a lumber yard, they'll show you a house, a beautiful house that has been built with all the things that are come out of that lumber yard. You know, I want you to know that I'm trusting the Lord that I will not be one of those boards that are still in the lumberyard waiting to be used. I'm trusting the Lord that even though I have to look at these mega churches and all these other things that are done, like I'm looking at the lumberyard and here's this wonderful, beautiful house, I am looking for what God wants to build. That in turn, he will use you, he will use me, he will use us, that we will be able to dwell with him in his tabernacle where his presence is, and he will not have to walk by and say, I couldn't use that person, I couldn't use that board, because they refused to accept my divine nature. They refused it. Lord, you don't have enough divine nature to put me next to that person. Don't ever say that to the Lord. We need to understand God is the one who personally chose you and I out of the wilderness to make known to us his sacrifice. And now he's brought us progressively along till we realize now we don't want to stay in the outer court. We want to take the supply of water and do what it can do for us and progress in to the holy place and continue into the holies of holies, that we could be a straight board, and his presence will be amongst us, and we could walk with him, one with another, walking with him. It's how we end. It's how we end. It's how we end. And you know, in my life, I wouldn't want you to see the battle scars on this old soldier. I would not want you to see them. But you know something? It's how I end that counts. And it's how you end that counts. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, whatever it takes, plane thee down and let your spirit and your divine nature cover over me, that I will be in harmony with my brothers and sisters. It doesn't work to be out of harmony. We can literally come to church. We can hear the best words of God. We can go into the classroom. But if we're not in harmony in the spirit, we will miss the opportunity to be part of the boards that carry the dwelling of the Lord. And just in closing, you know, I want to read one little verse so we can understand it. And you know it by heart, all right? Sometimes we think that we've chosen God. But the truth of the matter is, just like Guy goes out and chooses the trees that he wants cut down, God has gone out and he's chosen the trees out of our crooked old nature that he wants to put his divine nature in, and that he knows that we will submit and do that. And so, just in closing, and you know this verse is found in John 15:16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and to ordain you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And I believe that is a promise from the Lord to us. If we just can understand, he has chosen us with all our gnarls, with all our crookedness. He's still taken us out of his love and caused us to seek his face, put our love on him, so that he could take us and use us as a board into the holies of holies. That is what he's given to Zion Fellowship. That's what he's offering us. He is the one who forms us. He is the one who has chosen us. He is the one who says he will put nations, kingdoms, governments under us. He is the one who's telling us, you're going to destroy them, you're going to root them, you're going to bring them down. He is the one that's telling us that we are to build. He is the one who's telling us, and I know what, we're going to grow, aren't we? We are going to grow with the boards that have been overlaid with gold that speak of his divine nature. And I so much want to submit and be one of them. All right? The Lord bless you.